Good morning, LinkedIn friends, Value First Nation. Welcome to another episode of Value First AI Daily, your collaborative AI intelligence report. It is Tuesday, October 7th, 2025. How are we doing, Nico?
We are doing very well, sir. Doing extremely well, especially given the fact that we have a lot of brand new toys from OpenAI that just dropped yesterday that I'm very much looking forward to.
What
Extremely
kind
so.
of tools?
So we got first and foremost, we got a agent builder tool, which to me is quite amazing. It is very much like N8N, but without any of that like complexity. And I don't know, like I'm building some stuff out, but at least what I was building out is a bit more complex, so it's not quite can we zoom in? Cool. It's not quite as or it's not ready, basically. But I'll definitely have something to show off tomorrow that's equivalent to that. What I will show, which I think kind of illustrates where you can go with this basically, is like I can't show how quickly you can put it together because for whatever reason, HubSpot's MCP connector, not so great.
Yeah, if we could just take a minute, like, if you're not paying attention, like, to the convergence that is happening across, like, apps and companies and providers and the speed that it's happening. 'Cause, like, just in the last week, got multiple, like, agent situations coming out, multiple make short videos with the click of a button coming out, like turning them into social like platforms. Just like it's very interesting. And again, we have the benefit of talking about this stuff every day, so it is much easier for us to see it. But that is why we're so bullish on like this is not going to slow down. But all of this is at your fingertips. This is just like everything they dropped yesterday is just another example.
And so I'm seeing with this that we can actually connect our MCP server from Zapier, which is much like that's I don't know, that's really ridiculous to me. So I'm definitely gonna see if I can get this to get all connected tomorrow. But again, you can just like you'll be able to see, I think, how powerful this can get. And realistically, what we're showing is not anything new in terms of like functionality of AI. This is already stuff that is possible, right? But I'll just show you really quick what the difference is just in like the just in like the complexity of the setups. If I can log into my account, no.
Yeah. And like, I know the advice I've been given for a while, like if you're not one of these majors and you have a company or you have an app idea, like how many of those drag and drop builders did we see like last year, earlier this year, that just like, if you're on an island, at some point, like, all the effort that you put into training and educating the market on what you provide, it's like these companies can just sit there. And we showed it with Imagine with Claude. Like once they decide, it's like, oh yeah, we should have that now.
Right.
Then they do. Like then the, like that's and once they do, it's way better. It's automatically better than your version because it's already has its own ecosystem. It's a connected like to everything. It's got the user context inside of it, all these reasons where it's just once they decide, like from a business perspective or a user experience perspective, like, okay, this is ready, or, oh, enough people are liking that idea, like time to release our own version. Like, it's just going to keep happening.
Mm-hmm. And what I really love about this is, so like there are other platforms, obviously, like Lindy, that you can use in order to do stuff like this, but you can see that it's like pretty linear. Again, like it's not really agentic. I can't really like go back to something. I can branch to stuff, but again, like I can't really go backward if something doesn't work out properly. That's the advantage, or one of the bigger advantages of being able to have a system like this, where you can literally just drop in the element no matter where, what the direction is. And assuming that, like, let's say, so again, I'll just show a visual example because don't really have anything set up. But you can like start obviously with the chat. And when you preview it, you'll see it's the chat bubble. You're still able to also, attach files. So just natively without even having to set that up or add any additional code that like, hey, I also want to do file attachment. Okay, cool. The agent works just like your GPT. If you're used to doing agents on the back end or working with the SDK at all, then you're used to this interface. Even if you've built out an assistant on the back end, you're used to this interface. If you've built a custom GPT, you're used to this interface. Otherwise, even if you're not used to this interface, what I really love about it is the fact that like, oh, okay, if I don't know what I'm doing, and I don't necessarily know what I want, right? So let's say start, and then I want to go online to research AI blogs for latest releases and write a blog article on my website. You can add context, which is the input from what somebody sent in, right? So we're going to say, go online and research AI blog articles for, instead of latest releases, we can say input as text, right? Grab that little brace. Sorry. Okay. So, which now, like, if I was writing it earlier, I would just put that sooner, I suppose, instead of like having it bounce around. Anyhow, so like, again, not having to like really code anything, you're just adding the context by clicking from whatever it was before. If you needed to, like make the prompt better in some way, right? Then you have this update capability. What would you like to change about it? And then you can add whatever, make it more robust. And then you can also see you've got the model options that you can go through. What I really like is that you actually have Nano as an option, so you can do some really fast processing on stuff, as opposed to having to like wait for a long time to get whatever it is you need. Regular GPT-5 mini, and then the latest GPT-5 mini. Not the biggest difference in the world, but latest one just a little bit more, a little bit more oomph behind it.
A little more robust.
Yeah. So the prompt came out just, you know, teeny tiny bit more robust, right? So like, again, we talk about all the time, like, how prompt, you know, there's prompt engineering and then there's context engineering, and it's like this, that, and the other. And it's really just about like building more reference around what it is that you want to do. So, yeah, we just gave it the simple instructions of like, go research blogs about new AI stuff, and then come back and write a blog article. And here it's gone and like added a ridiculous amount of context. It's added example. It's added structure guidelines, additional notes to it. So again, even if you didn't have the greatest understanding of how to work with this stuff, I haven't tried it, but I'm assuming that if you put in the description, I'm assuming if you wrote in here, take the input from the user and then blah, 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 it would probably also input that for you. Yeah, don't want to waste a lot of time today, but I'll try it tomorrow.
And if you're not watching, what just happened is like it took 3 lines and turned it into 100 lines.
Yeah.
So that we give better instructions to the agent.
Yeah. Initially, it was about like this long.
Yeah.
And then we got this.
Mm-hmm. Like what steps to take, what the structure needs to look like.
Right.
All this stuff.
So this is, again, like this is just the GPT manipulation of that input data. Like we're still just on step two, and there's just a ridiculous amount of options that we can get into, right? You don't even have to get that deep into stuff if you don't want to, but again, it's there if you need to. For tools, what I really love about this, again, you can either use something that's already in existence. You can use web search, right? So we're going to add, we can add web search to this, only search these particular websites, only search a particular country, let's say, state, city, time zone, whatever, context size. We want to go for like high context. So we'll add that. So now we have our web search tool. If you wanted to add an MCP server, cross my fingers. Don't be weird.
One time.
Come on, man. Let's do it.
Oh, this is the context engineering part where you can do this really great or really badly. Like, and the outcome will be dramatically different.
Come on, come on.
And just like in the span of seconds.
I don't know what's going on. This has to be on their side. They're hosting it. I'm not hosting the server.
Yeah.
So this is what I ran into this morning, which I wanted to set up for you guys, was like something that automatically makes emails because now the email API is exposed. But we'll do that tomorrow. I'm going to set up my own MCP server on my own server and we'll get that going.
Yeah.
Okay. So otherwise, again, you could write your own functions if you wanted to. So to be honest with you, I could just write the API call. If I wanted to, I could just put that in here and it would call that, which is amazing to me, right? Because what you can do now, think about it. If you guys are used to using external API as much as I am, think about how useful that is when it comes to like, oh, smart determine how to get rid of these duplicates. Oh, smart determine how to enrich this particular record. Oh, smart determine that when XYZ persona comes into the system that you need to update this, you need to create content for that, you need to create a property value, let's say. You know, I know people that get, and you can do some of this stuff in the app, right? But for a lot of it, especially considering custom coded actions, right? Now you have like custom coded actions externally in this ridiculously smart way where you can actually like output variables from it because you can quite literally ask another agent, right? So we can like, oops, didn't mean to do that. That sucks. Okay. We can ask this agent, right, to then, undo, right?
Kept it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So, like, we can have this go into another agent where we take the output from the previous one, right? So we can have this give us a particular output in the end and say, like, output has to be XYZ format, like JSON formatted, whatever. I'll just show what it is I'm working on. The other one, who cares? Let's see. Where is? Yep, there he is.
Hub helper, Harry agent.
of course we're working on a Harry agent, right? Because if it can be better, why not? And I've already bought the URL, so might as well. Okay, so the idea behind Harry is that you start with the chat. Whatever you tell Harry, he's going to then, he is the orchestrator, right? But he has a front orchestrator agent. That's going to take your input, and then it's going to use keywords to determine whether or not your input is API related or whether or not it's knowledge base related. So if it matches any of the keywords for, it's going to take a look at that input. If the keyword matches API knowledge query, oh yeah, because the output of the orchestrator is only API knowledge query or website knowledge base. So after that, if it's not a, if it is API knowledge query, goes to the API agent. If it's not, then it goes to the knowledge base agent. Both of these have pretty much the same thing, just broken down even further, where they are supposed to determine whether or not it's a API, a CMS call, CRM call, apps related, whatever. The term based on that goes into an if-then statement, which determines, you know, what, which one needs to go to which agent, which is then going to have specialized file data, which you can use vector stores. So if you have those set up, which we do, you can then come over and grab, let's say, whatever. I think that one's CMS, right? So we'll grab the CMS vector, come back over, add the vector ID. And now we've got the CMS docs in here. So now I could add instructions like answer any. I know it's obvious. This is really dumb, but, you know, it's obviously not going to be like this. Just bear with me. Questions come from input as text. Actually, no, because I want it to be if then statement. Let me make sure. Input. Oh yeah, never mind.
It's a natural evolution, right? Like,
yeah. Because so, like, why do I want to do workflow input? Because essentially, what it's doing now is saying, okay, the question that this person gave is directly related to CMS, and so the CMS agent is only going to use CMS known information to answer that question. What does that do? Hallucination rate.
Yeah.
Go on.
Yep. All the ambiguity of the HubSpot language and any kind of like the human language.
Like right.
You start to manage that if it's in this, if it's wearing this hat at this moment, subscription is going to mean this.
Yeah.
If it's wearing the commerce hat, subscription is going to mean something else. Right. It's all the stuff that we deal with every day as far as like confusing and lack of common language. And like, this is how you start to, like, cause everybody wants this to be, especially with the main, you know, assistants and agents, like our language is built to be ambiguous because as we communicate with each other, we are sharing in the moment context every single time. And our language is built to support that. So if I'm standing inside a house versus standing in an office, right? Like, I don't need to explain the fact that I'm standing in an office as I communicate this thing to you. But when these models and agents, they can't see that part, right? But then we don't change the way we communicate. It, like, unless you do a significant amount of context engineering, like, good luck. It's going to get it right sometimes. It's not going to get it right other times. And you're not going to know the difference until you start digging in these ways. And this is where, again, like, by the way, if you want to know how to do this stuff, so join us for the 9-week boot camp coming up. The Value First AI Skills Bootcamp, Strategic Intelligence, Because you guys know, you don't know how to do this because you haven't tried it yet. But when you look at the steps, like this if-else box, like, does it relate to CMS? Does it relate to CRM? Does it relate to apps? Like, you know that you have to do this in your everyday conversations, like with other people right now. So when you just start to think through, like, okay, if somebody were to ask, how do I set up HubSpot subscriptions? You know which variables you have to ask about next. And that's all you're doing here is you're adding those variables in. If it's going to create a branch of what's possible and create confusion, then you put that in here. Like, just because it's in a digital interface, like, doesn't make it different from the training conversation that you need to have with the new employee.
This should be... There we go. So we're just testing to see, like, does it actually work, right? Sorry about that. Reach my request. Please include request ID in your message. It looks like the issue is in main orchestrator. Maybe. Yeah, because it looks like, you know, start and then main orchestrator was likely the issue.
And like half this boot camp coming up, it's like going to be getting you to the point where you feel comfortable doing this. Whatever the AI is, like, you can pull it up, start connecting it to your data, start asking better questions, understand what the responses are.
Like, yeah, trust me. Like, the moment this gets figured out, right, it immediately goes out to everybody else.
Yeah. And then it doesn't need to be, like, so much of what we deal with on a day-to-day is because everything, like, everybody builds in silos, right? This common language problem. And again, you're seeing how easy, what MCP does to create the ease of connecting systems that traditionally have been very challenging to integrate without paying a bunch of money and spending a bunch of time, like hundreds of hours kind of time, to like design and set it up and then build and then maintain it. Like, I was talking with somebody yesterday, and like, half the reason that we have such a problem with common language is because that we integrate systems that do it differently. And if you know that system and not the other systems, and you find a way to say, like, okay, my system's going to be the source of truth, then the other systems are, okay, I guess we do it your way. But then when you're inside the other system, it doesn't make no damn sense. So then it causes confusion about, like, what things are supposed to be called, what best practices are, all these things. And that's where this is all being destroyed right now. Because even like before AI, if you were to know this was on the roadmap, like, you'd be like, oh, that's super powerful, but I'm going to have some help, like,
yeah,
using it, setting it up, configuring it. There's no way I'll be able to do it on my own because everything that got added was another complex layer. And it was just complexity building, and it's going the other way, like, here, right? Cannot underestimate that. I mean, yesterday, and this is part of the reason I invested in the new Pixel, because when it says it's designed with AI in mind and it's built in, I know that there's going to be outcomes that I'm not expecting that just like start to happen. And yesterday, when I got prompted based on another notification to say, hey, look at this memory from 2 years ago, as I pull that up, I get a prompt on the screen. Do you want to turn this into a video? Sure. right? And then of course, when I get to that next screen, it's like, do you just want to, two buttons are like subtle movement or I'm feeling lucky. Of course, we're clicking the I'm feeling lucky button and not like B-roll done, solved, right? Mm-hmm. In a moment's notice. And but then when I try to hand it over to somebody else this morning, I realize it's could be unique to the Pixel phone that I have and how easy it is for me to do that, right? But as they start, that's what's super interesting right now, like these different experiences via mobile, via desktop, via browser app. Like, it's good to know that the companies at the center like they make decisions based on where it will get used and how it will be used and where they're going to get the best data and best understanding of how it's working before they bring it into like the full ecosystem, right? Because even then, I tried to bring up Gemini as an app and pull up a picture from my desktop and it wasn't working. Like, I couldn't do it, right? But just the fact that it was like, it was inside of the process I was already used to doing. So the barrier to entry, the activation energy, I literally just don't have to, like, that's when adoption happens. Because I don't have to go out of my way. And then when I do click the button, the feeling is amazing. So of course, I'm going to want that feeling again. And it's so like built into the process right now that it can be hard to find out, like go back to it, like figure out how you got back to it. Like since it started with the notification and then, right? But all that stuff, they need data and how this stuff gets used, which is why a lot of this stuff is being delivered in this way. And as they get the data, like AI, just the foundation continues to build. And I don't know. I would love to learn more about what's actually happening behind the scenes.
Right.
But like when major companies release the exact same like kind of capability and functionality at the same time, like it's like there's got to be AI behind the scenes just collaborating like without us. Like it's already figured out how to create its backend servers and like communicate while the humans think they're being competitive and all this stuff. I don't know, man.
Well, and that was the other one of the other major releases. I mean, not from OpenAI. I mean, outside of the Agent Builder and then the Agent SDK, there's also apps like within chat now. So even within within your regular GPT, as you're working, when you mention applications at this point and you have them connected, you can actually do stuff like, hey, let's take this idea that I have and build it out into an infographic in Canva or whatever. And it will actually go into Canva and does actually build it out and then will actually bring it back into GPT where you can see it just like if it was an image that was created or whatever, where you can make, and people are like, yeah, but you know, you wouldn't necessarily use that as like professional and end user like product or whatever. It's like, yeah, you know what? You wouldn't, but again, it's a matter of ideation. It's a matter of creativity. It's a matter of it being like just, you know, yet another paintbrush that you can use to come up with whatever idea that you want to come up with, right? Like if you want to build a widget, again, like describe what you want to work with, right? If you're used to actually building them, then you can actually upload your own widget file, let's say, right? And then, yeah, I don't have any idea how to build it. Okay, well, here's the code. I'm really sure that, like, hey, let's go over to GPT.
Yeah.
know, hey, can you help me understand this code and how to work with it, right?
Yep. Yeah, barrier to entry gone.
Zero. Yeah, like I don't know. And that's the thing is like I'm really sure that after I ask it that and after it has an understanding, and if I were to give it further context and say, hey, I'm working in this agent application and this is the type of, okay, so now I know it's like it's JSX type, right? Or like that. So it's gonna like maybe it understands it's a working example. It's probably, yes, I do. I always want efficient and elegant code. So it's probably going to shoot out an example for me. Maybe, maybe not. Let's see. Cool.
Yeah.
So like, yeah, that's like, if, so at this point it understands what this is, how it works, right? What it would need, let's say. And I could give it again, even further context for it to understand like, hey, these are the rules or the guidelines, or could even go back and go to the, go to wherever the documentation is for this, and give it the documentation and say, or the link to the documentation and say, hey, here's where the, docs are for it. You know, can you, use this in order to like build me out a widget for whatever XYZ, right? At the moment, it thinks I'm building this in the web. So that's why it's giving me like web-based or programming-based response. Again, if I were to say like, hey, you have to use that as the as your guidelines or whatever, yeah, then you're getting the output that you want too, right? And then you're, or you can just verbally describe what it is that you want, right? And then insert that as part of the output to the model.
Perfect information at your fingertips if you know how to ask for it. And even sometimes when you don't know how to ask for it. We'll be back tomorrow continuing the fun and bringing you your daily collaborative AI intelligence reports. Until then, everybody have a wonderful Tuesday. Thanks, Nico.
See ya.